I quite like getting Christmas cards, don't you? It's quite exciting, isn't it, when the postman arrives this time of year. I don't always like reading those sort of Christmas letters that go with them. You know, they're a bit tedious sometimes, aren't they? They always start with the same sentence. Have you noticed it? You know, something like, I don't know where the year has gone to. Have you noticed that? You know, if I see another one with that, I should go absolutely round the bend. I really will. But I was given this Christmas card, and it's a bit of a medieval thing. There's a picture on the front. It's called the Adoration. You may have got this yourself. You've seen this. It's by a fellow called Giotto. Have I pronounced that correctly? Giotto. And it's a 13th century picture of the shepherds visiting Jesus, as we have it in Luke's Gospel. The trouble is, you see, that these Christmas cards, they very often give a very limited view, I think, of the meaning of Christmas. Because they give the impression, first of all, that the Christmas story is untrue, and secondly, that it's completely and utterly irrelevant to our modern world. Now, if your version of Christmas is a Christmas card view, then really, I think you're missing out, to be honest with you. My Christmas card seems untrue because it makes the birth of Jesus look like a religious legend. Now, the stable looks like a 13th century holiday cottage. Jesus seems to be about 9 months old, all sort of healthy and chubby, you know. Mary looks as if she's just been out for a stroll rather than giving birth to a baby. And Joseph looks remarkably like the film star Peter O'Toole. And there's a whole load of fluffy cows and donkeys and sheep surrounded by a rather unreal heavenly glow. And there's a very curious collection of sort of golden plates which sort of, you know, seem to be behind people's heads. To give a kind of picture of, I don't know, religiosity or something or other. The whole thing looks like a medieval legend. And because of that, it's really, or it seems to be, just totally irrelevant to the likes of you and me, living as we do at the beginning of the 21st century. So let's just get on with stuffing the turkey, making the mince pies, watching the telly, because really that's what it's all about, isn't it? Or is it? Well, I want to say to you, it jolly well isn't. Jolly well isn't. I believe that the Christmas story, first of all, is absolutely true, and secondly, completely relevant to the likes of you and me today. And I'll tell you why. I hope this isn't too boring for you little ones, but the mince pies are coming soon, okay? So if you just put up with this just for a bit, then we'll be all right, okay? I never preach more than 3 hours, so you should be okay. First of all, Christianity, I want to tell you, is a history. I love history. I really love history. I can't get enough of it. And I want to tell you that Christianity is a historical religion based upon certain concrete facts which can be looked at and verified in a truly scientific manner. Now, the guy that wrote most of the stories we've been reading today was a fellow called Luke. And he is regarded by most people, even people not even Christians, as a very accurate and respected ancient historian. And the facts about people that he wrote about in the story, people like, you know, John the Baptist, Herod the King, and people like that, the Roman governors, all these historical facts have been confirmed by non-Christian historians. Okay? And when I was at university, I studied Latin and Greek. And I read some of these guys, okay? I can tell you it's absolutely true. Now, what about Jesus? Where does he fit in? Well, I haven't got time to go into all the bits and pieces of why I believe that Jesus was God. But let me just very briefly tell you, all right, very, very briefly, why I believe that Jesus was actually God. First of all, contrary to what the Jehovah's Witnesses tell you, Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be God, all right? He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father, all right? He claimed to be able to forgive people their sins. He claimed to be the final judge of the world. Only God can forgive sins, and only God is the final judge of the world. So Jesus claimed to be God. Now, what are we to make of those kind of claims? Well, now, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, there are only actually two logical alternatives. One is to say that he was a nutcase. He was a crackpot. I challenge you to read the words of Jesus in the New Testament and ask yourself, am I reading the words of a crackpot? And the idea soon becomes quite preposterous. All right. The only other alternative is to say that he was a deliberate imposter. Again, read the Gospels and you find that there is something so guileless about Jesus. He hated hypocrisy in other people. He was so transparently sincere himself. His character in every way supported the claims which he made for himself. And that brings me to my second reason for believing that Jesus was God, which is this, his moral character. There is no inconsistency at all between his words and his deeds. Now, you see, if I went around claiming to be God, you wouldn't believe it, would you? Would you believe me if I said to you I was God? You wouldn't. Would you believe me? You wouldn't. No. And most people here wouldn't. Anybody believe that I'm God? No, you see. And why is that? Well, I can tell you why. Because my life doesn't match up to it, does it? You see? And even if I could deceive you folks for a while, which I doubt, you could ask those who know me best. You could ask my wife, you see. I mean, she could wax very eloquent about my failings and my shortcomings. In fact, she frequently does, you see. But what do we find with Jesus? Well, let's listen to two of Jesus' close friends who were with him, you know, for 3 years and saw him when he was tired and fed up and all the rest of it. Peter says this, the Apostle Peter, Jesus committed no sin, neither was any guile found on his lips. Ah, you say, they were his mates. They were biased. They were biased. What about his enemies? What did they think of him? Well, there was one occasion when Jesus turned to his enemies and he asked them point blank. He said, which of you convicts me of sin? Do you know what? There was a stunned silence. Nobody could convict him of sin, you see? Jesus wasn't simply the greatest man who has ever lived. He was without sin. Now, sin is a universal complaint, which I suffer from, and I would think you probably do as well. So, if Jesus is without sin, he is no man as we know men, is he? He is supernatural. He is God himself come in the flesh. If you don't believe that, there's one final nail in the coffin of those people who want to disbelieve, and it's this, the evidence for the resurrection. I haven't got time tonight to give you all the nuts and bolts of the evidence for the resurrection. But listen to this. The words of a famous lawyer on the subject. He said this. As a lawyer, I have made a prolonged study of the evidence for the resurrection. To me, it is conclusive. And over again in the High Court, I have secured the verdict on evidence not nearly so compelling. As a lawyer, I accept the gospel evidence for the resurrection unreservedly as the testimony of truthful men to facts they were able to substantiate. So there are three reasons why I believe that Jesus was God. Because of his claims, because of his character, and because of the resurrection. This is no fanciful fairy story that we enjoy singing about at Christmas time. This is based upon, as I said at the beginning, historically verifiable facts which can be examined and tested. And if you've never examined and tested them, I just urge you to go away and read the Gospels for yourself and ask the question, who was this Jesus Christ? I believe there is only one credible explanation. Christianity does not ask us to believe anything which is not based on solid evidence. You have not got to throw your brains away to be a Christian. It stands up to the closest possible investigation. Now, secondly, that was the heavy stuff. Okay, so if you're with me so far, the next bit is all downhill from here on. Okay. First of all, Christianity is historically true. Secondly, it is absolutely relevant to our present needs in the world today. Now, in Luke's Gospel, verse 10, the angel says to the shepherds, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty fed up with the world as it is, aren't you? it's been a year of pretty bad news, hasn't it? Don't you think? You watch the television and it's just bad news all the time, isn't it? Are you fed up with it? I am. We could do with some good news, couldn't we? Well, I've got some great news tonight. I've got some fantastic news. News of great joy. So if you thought that Christianity was dull and boring and was all about old ladies sitting in churches wearing hats and looking miserable, and I can't see any hats here tonight actually at all, then I'm afraid you've missed the point. Because Christianity is a joyful religion, okay? It's not dull and boring, it is really joyful. And it's for everybody. Listen, it says, this is for you and for all the people. Not just for a bunch of religious people. It's for everybody, all types of people. These shepherds were working class people. Maybe ex-criminals doing a job nobody else wanted. Looking after a sheep on a cold hillside in the middle of the night. Yes, we've got brilliant news even for you lot. And what is this news, says the angel? Well, to you is born this day, in the city of David, a saviour. Now there's a religious word, saviour. What does saviour mean? Well, it means somebody who comes to the rescue, doesn't it? Somebody who saves. But what do we need rescuing from? Well, I'll tell you. The Bible says all of us are in big trouble with God. All of us. We've all got a bad, or we've all had a bad attitude towards God. We don't want God telling us how to run our lives. So we say to God, push off and let me live my own life as I want. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is not just the stuff you read about in the tabloid newspapers. No, no. Sin is all about our attitude to God. Now, I'll tell you a story about a bloke who ran his own business. Okay? Very wealthy man. And he had two people under him, two sort of junior directors. And one day he said, I'm going off to America for a while, and I want you two guys to run the business while I'm away. I want you to keep in touch with me, let me know what's going on, and then I'll come back. Now, these two junior directors behaved very differently while the boss was away. One of them rolled in late every morning. Sometimes he was drunk. Sometimes he stole money from the till. Obviously, he was a complete and utter disgrace. He was letting the boss down very, very badly. The other guy was quite different. He always dressed smartly. He always arrived on time. To all outward appearances, everybody thought he's a good guy. He was a charming fellow. You know, he gave the staff extra holidays and he gave them rises in salaries. He seemed to be a terrific fellow. What people didn't realise was this. He never sent one email to his boss. He never read any of his boss's emails. He operated the business solely for his own benefit. And actually, he had the same attitude to his boss as the other guy. Now, these two men behaved very differently. But they had the same attitude towards the managing director. And I tell you something, that's how it is with us and God. There are some people who've lived their lives in a quite disgraceful way, quite appalling. They've done awful things. They've really let God down very, very badly. Other people look really good on the outside, and maybe they even go to church. But I tell you something, deep down on the inside, they've actually treated God just as badly. And this is where the message of Christmas is so very relevant. Why did Jesus come into the world? He came to deal with the problem of our sin. He was born to be our saviour. Those little baby hands, one day, were nailed to a cross. And on that cross, Jesus took the punishment which we deserve for the way that we've treated God. Which means this. If we put our trust in Jesus, then God will forgive us. And we can go to heaven. And we know that when we pray, God is listening to us, not as our enemy, but as our friend.
And when we're on our deathbeds and we're facing the end of our lives, we know that when we die, God will be there on the other side to receive us into heaven. And I've sat with Christians on their deathbeds, and I tell you, it's been a marvellous thing to see their peace and their joy, because they know that God is with them. Now, let me ask you all a question tonight. Do you know anything of that? Do you know Jesus as your personal saviour? Do you know that your sins are really forgiven? Let me ask you a very, very searching question. I don't want to frighten anybody. If you were to die tonight, perish the thought, but if you were to die tonight, would you have any real hope that you're going to heaven? Now think about that. We never know, do we, what's coming around the corner? You say, well, how can anybody really know whether they're going to heaven? How can I be sure that God's forgiven me? How can I be sure that I've got eternal life? Is it possible to be sure? I just want to say this. Yes, it is possible. It is gloriously possible to be sure that God has forgiven you, and that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And you say, well, how can I be sure? Let me tell you. 2 more minutes, all right? Then the mince pies. 2 more minutes. We must come to Jesus and say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I've messed up. I've done all sorts of stuff which is wrong, which has displeased you. And I really want you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, will you please forgive me? I'm really sorry. I want to turn my back on all that rubbish and I want to go your way. Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? And you know, Jesus will forgive you if you come like that, in real sincerity. Not just saying sorry, but being sorry. Anybody can say sorry, can't they? Do you say sorry to your mum and dad sometimes? You're not really sorry, but you just want to avoid being punished, don't you? And once you've said sorry and they say it's okay, you're out there doing the same thing again, don't you? That's not really being sorry, is it? Real repentance. It's not just feeling sorry, but it's turning away from all the rubbish. And it's saying, I want to go God's way. See? Lord Jesus, will you please forgive me? But I want more than forgiveness. I want to live a better life, don't I, in the here and now. I'm fed up with being a miserable failure. So I need to say, Lord Jesus, I don't just want you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I want you to take over my life. I want you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life by the power of the Holy Spirit and make me into a new person. Lord Jesus, will you do that? And he will. Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Saviour? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life by the power of his Spirit and make you into a new person? I'll tell you something, there is no better time to do it than the Sunday before Christmas. Because if you become a real Christian, that's what it's all about. You'll have the most wonderful Christmas you've ever had in your life. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight and invite him to be your Lord and your Saviour. I've got some little books in my pocket here. They're not books really, they're little booklets. At least I thought I had them. Perhaps they're in here. Yeah, I've got one here. And they kind of go over in about 3 or 4 pages the sort of stuff I've been speaking about in the last 3 or 4 minutes. So if any of you are really wondering and thinking, well, actually, I really would like to know where I stand with God, I really do want to be sure of my salvation, then I've got a few of these books. I'm going to go in there and have some mince pies in a minute. And if you want one of these booklets, I'll give you one free of charge, all right? Okay? Just ask me for one. Don't ask me one if you're not going to read it, all right? But if you really want to know more about how you can become a Christian, how Jesus can become your Lord and your Saviour, ask me for a booklet and I'll be absolutely delighted to let you have one. All right? Happy Christmas to you.